Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Treaty Negotiations and SIS Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the nurses' strike yesterday. National MP Paul Goldsmith's comments that colonisation was, quote, on balance, a good thing for Māori, and the Māori Party calling for a SIS police task force on anti-Māori hate speech. Here's the minister. The nurses now demand 17% of pay increase and better working conditions, and that's quite reasonable, is it not?
No, I don't think so. No one is getting a 17% pay increase, you know, even over a two-year period, which is, I think, the term that they're asking for. In their last settlement in 2018, they got a roughly 14% pay increase over a 27-month period of time. The senior nurses got more than those on more junior levels of the pay bands. The structure of the pay offer that the DHBs have made to the nurses this time actually load up more for healthcare assistants and nurses at the low end of the pay scale, so their pay increases would, over the life of the collective agreement, be between a sort of 5 and 11%. At the top end, it thins out quite a bit. But the idea is that at the moment, there's a growing and a sort of unacceptable pay gap between those at the top and those in the bottom levels of the pay bands. So we want to try and close that gap. Also, what we've got going at the moment is the pay equity exercise. So that started, that was agreed to in 2018. It was meant to have been concluded by 2019. By the end of that year, it didn't. And look, there's any number of explanations for that. But that will lead to a significant structural increase in pay for nurses when that is concluded, and certainly my strong hope that that is concluded in a matter of months, not longer. So there's a lot going into in terms of pay. The other thing that was agreed on in 2018 was, of course, adding more nurses to the hospital system. So we are now funding an additional nearly 3,000 nurse positions in our hospitals. They're not all filled because it is true that the DHBs have been struggling to fill those roles, and there's a legitimate problem there, and we've got to continue to work on that. We put more money into nurse training and what have you for that. But so those things have been bubbling along, but they are things that have required the cooperation of both the DHBs collectively and the New Zealand Nurses Organisation.
What about working conditions? You definitely acknowledged for the past couple of days that there must be improvements to nurses' working conditions.
The main issue, as I hear it from the nurses, is the pressure on them at work, the fact that shifts are often understaffed, that many have to work additional hours to cover for the fact that positions that ought to be filled have not been filled. That goes to the point about the additional nurse roles. That came from agreement over a program called Care Capacity Demand Management. That is about making sure, you know, you have the right number of nursing staff on at the right time, knowing that there's peaks and troughs and there's, you know, different patient acuity and all those sorts of things. So that was what was agreed, and half of the DHBs have tell me they've more or less put it in place. There's another seven who say they won't complete putting that in place till the end of the year, and another three that are way behind. And I think that, you know, people are entitled to look at that and say, well, why is it so sort of happening in such drips and drabs? And I think that is a problem. I think that reflects the structure of the system that we've got at the moment. In any event, the main thing that I think nurses are concerned about is that they are under increasing pressure and they need more colleagues on duty each shift to cover the work that's there. If we have had permanently filled all the roles that are now currently being funded, then we would almost certainly alleviate that problem.
Right, so, but now what will happen once the strikes are over for now?
Well, I understand that the DHBs and their advocates and the nurses' organisation advocates are getting together this morning to discuss next steps. So, look, they're the negotiating parties and they've now got to kind of work out what they do next.
Right. You said, the health reforms that you proposed, you want better health service qualities, but with so many nurses now leaving New Zealand for other countries, particularly in Australia, because of better working environment, how can you ensure that the reforms will actually achieve what it intends to?
I'm not quite sure what numbers you're talking about of nurses leaving for Australia. I haven't seen any numbers to that effect. In the end, we have to build a health system that is right for New Zealand. My view is, following the health and disability system review, is that the system we've got at the moment is not getting the best out of the health system. It is not serving patients as best as it could. That's why we are making the structural change. I think one of the issues is about workforce and working environment. And when you have a disaggregated system such as we have at the moment, it's pretty hard to do the long-term workforce planning to make sure there are enough nurses. We are training enough nurses. We're providing the personal development for nurses and other clinicians as well, doctors, specialists, all the rest of it that you'd expect. So I'm very confident that the system reforms when they are in place and bedded in and working, that they'll make a significant difference.
Okay, moving on to my second topic for today, it's about National MP Paul Goldsmith making comments recently saying colonisation is a good thing on balance for Māori. What do you think of his comments?
I'm stunned because Paul Goldsmith is a trained historian. He's written biographies and what have you. It is a stunning statement to make in light of the known history of New Zealand, the recorded history of New Zealand, and indeed the contemporary accounts from scholars Māori and Pākehā about the long-term impact of colonisation. And we've seen what has happened in New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand had the opportunity when the Treaty of Waitangi was signed to do something quite different, but it didn't. It did what the British Crown did, what colonisers do, supported its people to traduce the rights of Māori, tangata whenua, confiscate land, steal land, marginalise people, oppress Māori, which is what happened. The suggestion that this was on balance good for Māori, it just frankly beggars belief.
You're the Treaty Negotiations Minister. How damaging is this rhetoric for today in 2021?
I think enough Māori know that enough Pākehā know or now have a better understanding of our history. And indeed, I think most Māori know that the National Party, there are plenty of other people in the National Party who have a different view and a more progressive view. And, you look back in previous generations of National Party leaders, the Doug Grahams, the Jim Boulders, who really spearheaded the modern process of facing up to treaty breaches and negotiating redress for them with iwi, and that's continued. So, but you would think in this day and age, and Paul Goldsmith is an intelligent man. He's no slouch. But to make a statement like that is just I don't know. I don't know why you would do that. Why you would say it, when all the scholarship tells you that that's just not a conclusion that can be reached these days.
Do you think he should be educated more in New Zealand history?
Yeah, he's had one of the finest educations you could expect for New Zealanders. He's a master's graduate, so he should know. He, of all people, should know. And I just think it... And I don't know whether it reflects the contemporary National Party, where I think their understanding of or appreciation of certainly the issues for Māori and issues for Te Ao Māori, they're just not alert to it. They're just not connected with Te Ao Māori in a way that party has been before. They have very few Māori MPs. The replacement for Nick Smith, Haere Te Hipango, is coming back. She's done one term before. She will come back. I mean, she will bring, I think, just a little more balance to that caucus because they desperately need it. And she's an intelligent and outspoken woman. So hopefully, you know, she will be given respect for what she will bring back into that caucus because they desperately need it.
Especially recently, National has been conducting quite a lot of race-baiting speeches, such as Judith Collins citing the Māori Health Authority is separatist, and she also said yesterday that the treaty is an agreement for the Crown to take sovereignty, and it was no way forced colonization. Is it concerning that National is going back to race baiting tactics 20 years ago?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they clearly think that there is a significant enough audience for what they're saying that will help them with their popularity. Yeah, it does hark back to kind of the Don Brash and the audio with speech days. When a single speech kind of ignited this response and gave them a big boost in the polls, I think life has moved on for most New Zealanders, and generations now entering early adulthood and even later adulthood, it's just not the same. I mean, I think people are more aware of our history and of the way European settlers treated Māori and benefited from unlawful acts, stealing land and treating Māori in just an appalling and oppressive way. I think way more New Zealanders understand that now and want a more progressive response and want to see justice being served through a combination of things, through honouring the treaty, but actually building the institutions that ensure partnership and enduring partnership between the Crown and Māori. But I think people expect that now. So even if they are playing to an audience, I think it is a small one and a shrinking one. And I just think that it's not where the future lies. And I don't understand what their long-term strategy is by going down that path.
Okay. My final question for today, staying on this, now Te Pātai Māori, they want a SIS and police task force to investigate anti-Māori hate speech from white supremacist organisations. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I met with Te Pāti Māori and had a good conversation with them about it. Met and had the Director General of the SIS, Security Intelligence Service, with me at that meeting. I think it was a good discussion. They've got very good reason. They've been the subject of an appallingly hateful, and actually I would say borders on threats of terrorism video message that they had. Somebody ideologically driven, not just to attack Māori leaders, but to attack Māori and to attack their Malai. Very disturbing. Now I understand there has been an arrest in that regard, so I'll say no more about that. But the intelligence agencies and the police do work closely together, very closely together. The intelligence agencies, their job is to, through their networks and techniques and the technology they've got, is to kind of be aware of those things that pose threats to the safety of people, safety of the community. But the police have the job of, they are law enforcers, it's their job to take prosecutions and enforce the law. But they work, they share information, they work closely together. So to some extent that is happening already. I think what Te Pāti Māori is looking for is an explicit, discreet kind of mission in relation to white supremacist violent extremism directed at Māori. And so some consideration has been given to how that can be brought together, and there'll be further conversations over the weeks and months to follow.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.